This morning's news poll indicates just how bad things are for the New South Wales Labor government. Testing voters in the state of New South Wales, it finds only one in four say they'll vote for the government of New South Wales Premier Christina Keneally. During the federal election campaign, Tony Abbott was relentless as he tried to link federal Labor to the extremely unpopular New South Wales government. Queensland Premier Anna Bligh this week said, quote, the New South Wales disease mustn't be allowed to spread. But former New South Wales Labor Premier Morris Yemmer says it's too late. He blames the National ALP Secretary Carl Bittar and Senator Mark Arbib as the men in charge of Labor's poor election showing. James Carlton spoke with Morris Yemmer at his Sydney home this week.
On Saturday, the government lost its majority with the lowest primary vote to ever since Scullin. It was the most inept campaign in living memory. And it's no answer to say, oh look, the leaks blindsided us in week two. Carl Bittar, along with Mark Abib, were part of the crew having brought Rudd down. They then wanted to traduce Rudd's reputation. And of course, when Rudd supporters, or himself, it's not known, retaliate, they throw their hands up. So, oh, shock, horror. The campaign is blindsided because of leaks. What did you expect? And what did you expect in sending the Prime Minister out in the first 2 weeks in a vacuum? Nothing to say, no big policies, and no core message. So no wonder that Julia had to take charge at the beginning of week three, and luckily for the party and the government that she did, because that's what's salvaged the situation. And that of itself is a vote of no confidence in Carl Bittar.
You used to be close friends. How much of this relates to the falling out you had with him when you were Premier?
Yes, we did fall out. We fell out over the right of a government to govern. Carl Bittar believes that as a secretary, whether it's state or national, he has a veto over policy. He has a slavish adherence to the focus groups, where they become iron law. They're not used to help craft a message or policies. They become the things that you live and die by. And he's made some very bad calls. Yeah, he's been at the centre now of the collapse of four Labor governments. Yemmer, Rees, Rudd and now Gillard governments. It's not a personal reflection on him. It's a professional reflection, and it's one that reflects the voice of all those Labor supporters and branch members that handed out and did their best for Labor and afterwards went back dispirited and despondent, reflective of what Maxine McHugh had to say on the night. She's been criticised. Well, she shouldn't be criticised for what she said because she laid the responsibility right where it belongs. As the National Campaign Director, you ought to accept the responsibility as opposed to trying to spin his way out of trouble. Nobody buys it anymore. The voters on Saturday didn't buy it. The flakery and fakery of Mr. Bittar and his colleague, Senator Arbib. The party membership, what remains of it, doesn't buy it. He's brought his discredited New South Wales model to Canberra, infected the Labor caucus and placed a very good leader and a very able person in Julia Gillard in this position.
You and he are both from the New South Wales Right, which is supposed to be the win at all costs, whatever it takes grouping. What does this experience say for that?
For a purpose. As Paul Keating famously said, along with other great men of the right, like Graham Richardson, power for a purpose. Whereas for Bittar, it's power for the sake of power, winning for the sake of winning. We've all slaved away as young Labor activists and true believers in the branches, and working our way up through the ranks and running as candidates for a purpose. And people like Keating and Richardson and Ducker, and indeed other factional leaders like Robert Ray, Gerry Hand from the left, these were all number crunchers, they were power brokers. They were also substantial men of policy and public administration who made significant contributions to Labor cabinets. They were able to make the transformation, still keep their skills as machine men, so factions are important in managing the party. But power brokers are also interested in understood policy, public administration. In Bittar and Arbib, you have people who are not the slightest interest. For them, it's a collection of grabs. The focus groups, the grabs, get you through the news cycle of the day. They thought that would work in an election campaign. It didn't. And thankfully, Julia was awake to it, and she has got to take the credit for getting us so close.
Did Labor have difficulty selling their message, or there was no message?
Well, both. And we got to national broadband towards the end. On health, we said nothing. And we had a leader who rose to prominence because of her reforms in education. These are areas where Labor has had decade-long lead over the Conservatives, and we've gone through a 5-week campaign and said almost nothing. And Gillard is so suited to selling the message on education, but they clothed her with other issues and other messages.
Julia Gillard, though, got the message from the focus groups about population, and she came up with Sustainable Australia. It wasn't just the machine men.
No, but as Kevin Rudd said, he was asked, what would you have done differently? What do you think your biggest mistake was? And Kevin replied, backing out of the ETS. So these are the fellows who work to destabilise a position so that in the end they come out and make the decision they want. And if they don't like it, they then remove the leader. So the pressure on Gillard getting ready to go to an election, the influence and the pressure would have been respond in this way on population. And of course, what was the result? We couldn't go far enough to the right to out Abbott Abbott in the outer suburbs. We're outflanked by the left, by the Greens in the inner city. In the centre, in those middle-rung suburbs of metropolitan Sydney, we abandoned multicultural Estonia and they abandoned us on Saturday. The swings in some of our safest seats in the middle-rung suburbs of Sydney, our voters collapsed through the floor. And what's the response? The National Secretary says, we performed better than we expected. There are swings of up to 20% in polling booths in previously safe Labor seats. Not the outer suburbs, in the middle-rung suburbs, in multicultural Australia. Because we said to them, subliminal message, we don't want you. We don't welcome you and we don't want you. And on Saturday they said, well, if that's your reaction, after decades of loyal support, we don't want you. And that's a seismic shift in voting support in these areas. And let me say this. There's one seat in that basket of seats that if Mark Abib and Carl Batard had their way, the sitting Labor member of 20 years would have been dumped, Darryl Mellon. It was only because he stood his ground and loyal party supporters from both factions and unaligned party supporters said, we want him. If we had a new candidate without Mellon's personal support, Banks today would be a Liberal seat and Abbott would have 74 seats and be on the verge of becoming Prime Minister. Going down the path of Carl Batar and Mark Abib, Labor is left standing for what? Valueless, without strong beliefs. Nothing. Stand for nothing, believe in nothing, craft election campaigns around nothing. Not surprisingly, those who ache for a Labor Party that stands for big policies go elsewhere.
At home with former Labor New South Wales Premier Maurice Yemmer, a damning assessment of his own start of politics. He's speaking there with James Carlton. News coming up after the news, a world without newspapers. Yep, we'll all be getting our news every day on $10 portable news screens. That's one view of the media future. We'll be joined by futurist Ross Dawson, chairman of the international think tank Future Exploration Network. Also, the person who's in front in the vote count in the Queensland seat of Brisbane.